Yo, welcome back to the Super Bowl 59. We can say that because no one pays us to do this edition of the Return to Play podcast. I am your host, Grande Steve. With me is Sir Danny. Any opening thoughts about the Super Bowl?
Is that a thing that they're like stopping people from advertising it as the Super Bowl?
It's been that way for years.
I didn't realize that.
The audible words Super Bowl are copyrighted. You have to get permission to say it if you're getting compensated.
It's just not even good branding.
Yeah, it never made sense to me.
I don't get it. Because Tosh, have you seen any of Tosh's podcasts? He's doing like a stupid.
Some clips.
Yeah. So, this week's episode, he was joking about that, and I didn't fully grasp it, but because I guess I didn't know that fact. But
I think the NFL wants to make it seem very exclusive and alluring. That only official branded NFL outlets can say that.
That's silly. That's extremely silly.
Yeah, it's very narcissistic of them. Speaking of which, too, and I guess some other general football news, I guess there's an Australia game now. I guess we're doing Australia next year for the Rams.
Oh, geez.
Have to give up a home game. It said 2026, I'm pretty sure, in Melbourne.
Melbourne. When is Pittsburgh playing Ireland this coming year?
No,
or is
it the year 2 years. Yeah, two. Oh, okay. I think 27. I believe so. But we've got a lot to cover, so let's get right into it. But one little caveat, and we still gotta for the people do a Super Bowl draw of the week, a footy draw of the week. But before that, too, we wanted to touch on some early look ahead lines for Bill Belichick's North Carolina Tar Heels. So the over-under, they have 12 games on the schedule. There's two cakewalk games, cupcake games. That's Charlotte and Richmond. And then other than that, it's all Power Four schools, ACC games. Their three non-conference games are TCU to open the season, UCF, and Clemson. Clemson's in Chapel Hill. All three of those games are in Chapel Hill. All three of those bigger games are at home for them. So that's their schedule. The over-under, 7.5 wins. So do you think Bill Belichick can go at least 8-4 this year?
I don't know their returning roster well enough to give a educated take. I would say probably. I would feel comfortable betting the over on that, just with in a bad year, Mac Brown had him kind of hovering around a 7-6-ish record.
Well, I think he'll be getting good to great talent to come play for Bill Belichick, but it's still got to be guys that are gonna put their nose down and work, and I don't know how many Gen Zers there are out there who fit the Belichick mold, the Patriot way. So that'll be interesting to see what level of talent they can have buy into their program. That will get easier over time. When they do start winning, but this season might be a little rougher patch for them. So I do think that first game against TCU, who knows? I'm sure I'll end up betting it by the time it comes around. But right now, I'm telling my future self, do not bet that game week one. You got to see what they're cooking with. And then, Clemson is probably an L. You would think, they're molded together. And then you got Cal, Virginia, Syracuse, Stanford. Not to do a whole deep dive into this year, but we're going to say no on the stay away from the over-under right now. But them to make the 12 team playoff is plus 750. Not a terrible one, but I guess it, you know, because if they go, let's just say if they go, what, nine, I guess you'd have to only have, you'd probably still have to have 10 wins, right? I bet, to get in the CFP. So,
unless they snuck into the,
you know, ACC championship.
If they somehow went 8-4 and got a championship game berth or something like that and got in at 9-4. I feel like at the minimum, you'd probably have to be, for an ACC team, you'd probably have to be 10-3. But,
well, they only have 12 games.
Well, yeah, but they're not gonna get. They're gonna. Oh, you mean that? Not a conference. Oh, yeah, I mean they're gonna have to. They're gonna have to get into the conference championship game regardless. So
yeah,
they do have. You know, they have both Cal and Stanford, but only one on the road. Those cross country. That's what's crazy about them playing in the ACC. Like, just looking at the records of those cross country. It's different than traveling, you know, week one or for a bowl game or something like that. Like, those week to week, like, cross country games are rough for the traveling team. So, I mean, I put them, I don't think Bill Belichick, to answer your previous point, I don't think he'll have a trouble getting talent, because while, like, the likability factor may not be there for, like, you know, these 18-year-old kids, I think just the pitch of, you know, his pedigree and being able to develop NFL talent, and I think that will draw a lot of kids that you know, think this is their ticket to the next level.
So yeah,
I expect him to not really have that much trouble getting talent. There's definitely been some bland, you know, old-fashioned white coaches that you don't think would vibe well with the current youth, but have no trouble getting guys. I mean, even Saban kind of is that way, you know, and no nonsense, you know, old stale white feller. So you know, the talent, getting talent's not going to be the issue. You know, it's not going to be a year one thing, I don't think. Just looking at the schedule, I'd put them around like a 7-5 record, 8-4 maybe. So probably a fair 50-50 line there.
Well, and then them to just reach the ACC championship game is 5-1. But, and to win the ACC championship game's 10-1. So you might as well just take that at 10-1 and you could hedge out for, you know, very well on that. That's enough about that. I do think he'll have that place humming in next season. But I just thought that was interesting. They had some futures on that on the greasy sites. So let's start with the pregame stuff for the big game. And, you know, the two that I'm still torn on, heads or tails. I think I'm going to lean heads this year, actually, and stray away from tails never fails. Think I might go heads this year for the coin toss, but, I like, You could take either team here. Chiefs win coin toss and win game is plus 255. The Chiefs are, I believe, are the Eagles. The Chiefs are wearing white. The Chiefs were the one seed. The Eagles were a two seed. So the Eagles have to be the away team then, right? And they'll call the coin toss.
I don't know if it. I don't know the rule on that. Now that you bring it up, I thought it just alternated. You know, AFC and NFC were home and away every other year, but I don't know.
Well, either way, I think I'd rather have Chiefs win coin toss and win game at plus 255, but Eagles to win coin toss and win game is plus 320. You know, I would just take both of those, but put twice as much on whichever team you're gonna you would like more. But and then you still, your risk is mitigated at so much because you only have to put up. Let's just say, for example, are you following me so far?
I suppose so.
So if. Because one of the teams has to win the coin toss, so you'll get, oh, but I see. So You still wouldn't have the other team that God. I had to say that out loud to. If I bet both of those and the Eagles win the coin toss, then my Chiefs to win the coin toss and the game is an automatic L. So yeah, that's stupid.
Yeah, I mean it's not like a boosted line at all. Like that's just their regular.
Yeah,
money.
That's
just like if you parlayed it with a -110. If you parlayed the money line with a -110 pick elsewhere.
Yeah, it's
pretty much. That's what the odds yes. are.
Yep, I'm dumb. All right, let's just move on from the coin toss. Let's go to the singing. America the Beautiful by Trombone Shorty and Lauren Daigle.
Who the fuck is Lauren Daigle's the GOAT. I don't know who Trombone Shorty is, but that just sounds like an incredible combo. Lauren Daigle's like, she's like, I call her the Christian Adele. She pretty much, she's like the Adele. She's big in like the, you know, contemporary Christian music world.
Not in the physical sense.
She's not large. She's not built like Adele. Her voice. Her voice is.
I know. And there's nothing wrong with that. Obviously, thick girls are in right in this century. Nothing was ever wrong with Adele's body. That's what I want to have on the record for one. And two, she did do the whole Ozempic thing, you know, before it was even popular and lost all that weight. I don't know if she did Ozempic or not. Don't be mad at me, Adele. So
this is an Adele supporting podcast. Put it on record.
Pro Adele. And so the over under for that song is 100 and a half seconds. The problem is about America the Beautiful. I don't know how long it usually is.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, I always hammer the over. The over hits comfortably every year. I feel like this just seems like free money. Especially Lauren Daigle's gonna hold the notes a few times. She's got the pipes, man. Girl can sing.
The average recording length of that's the national anthem is 1:40. Yeah, see that it's even too greasy for Google. It just all comes up with national anthem stuff. But I wanted America the Beautiful.
Trombone Shorty is a male trombone player. In my head, I don't know why I jumped to. Like, I guess Shorty made me assume it was a female. I was just picturing like Lil Kim playing the trombone, but it's a dude.
That's funny. Okay, so wait, the odds. Okay, so I think I'm staying away from America the Beautiful, but maybe you know the over does actually kind of. I like that.
This is cute how they're doing this because both, you know, Super Bowl is in the Superdome. The big game is in the Superdome. So these are both New Orleans based artists. So there you go. Hometown America the Beautiful singers. That's why they paired them up. Well done, NFL. And why isn't Lil Wayne doing the fucking halftime show?
Well, that's all over. Jay-Z decides the halftime show. We talked about that at the beginning of the season when they announced the whole thing, and we went over all that about 20 weeks ago. And it's already Super Bowl 59. Last football game. Okay, let's not dwell on that. And then John Baptiste is also from New Orleans, you know, to do the national anthem. This I will be taking over 2.5 minutes. You know, I say that, but here's the problem. The odds on the over... The number hasn't changed, but the odds opened up at -142, and now it's down to -115. So sharps have brought that down and have all taken the under. Apparently, he sang it before at the 2017 NBA All-Star Game, and he went under that by like 10, 12 seconds, I believe. So, New Orleans, birthplace of jazz, you know, he could, this is the Super Bowl and we're showing out for New Orleans, although the NBA All-Star game was in New Orleans too. I think he could add some jazz flair to the national anthem and thus hit the over. 7 of the last 11 national anthems have been over 2 minutes. Whereas in the 90s, the average time was a minute and 40. So in this last decade here, decade, people have dragged this song out almost 20 more seconds on average. So that's interesting to know. So, oh, here we go. The Star Spangled Banner performed how it's written should be 1 minute and 19 seconds. So people really do drag it out here for these Super Bowls. Okay, that's enough about that. And let's go to, well, there's more, though. It's not about the time, but we can run through these here. Military member to be shown during the anthem, minus 450. Love that.
Yeah, I mean, they're gonna be standing right there. That's fucking easy money.
Yeah, I kind of, it's $100 max to win $45. I kind of want to do it.
Minus 450, you said?
Yeah.
This ain't going to win $45. It's going to win like...
Oh, yeah, you're right. That would be 20, less than 20.
No, minus 500 would win you 20. So it'd be like...
Yeah.
It'd be,
oh, yeah, 20. Yeah. Okay, yeah, never mind. I still don't like that. That is a you think of it this way, that's a 22% return on investment.
I mean, it seems like free money to me. Unless they're conspiring it, they want you to bet it.
Yeah, no, I do like that. I might have to do that. And then Mahomes to be shown before Hurts minus 145. Kelce to be shown before Saquon is also minus 145. Andy Reid to be shown before Sirianni. That's minus 115, so it's either way. You could bet either of coach to be shown first at minus 115. And then any player or coach to cry during anthem on camera, on broadcast, is also minus 450. I would not bet that at all. I would not touch that at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch that one.
But here's the best one. I don't even know how to read this. Person to be seen crying first during anthem. If neither person is shown, wagers will be no action. And it's Chris Jones and Nick Sirianni. Chris Jones seen crying first, minus 375. Nick Sirianni seen crying first, plus 275. So maybe they're thinking Nick Sirianni got roasted so bad for crying last time, he's going to hold in the tears this time. He's going to edge his eyeballs during the national anthem. So yeah, maybe you take a flyer on Sirianni seeing crying first, just for the value there. But yeah, I'm looking at the over 2 minutes and a half second is now plus 105. Ugh, I've never lost a national anthem over under. I have to put action on it. But man, they're really trying to scare you off of the over. And apparently he did it before. That came in at a minute 47. That was the 2020 opening NBA season game. Certainly not the Super Bowl in that situation. I don't have a pick on it yet. All right, now I'll lean over. If I change my mind, I will post that to X at Return to Play Pod. All right, that's the pregame mumbo jumbo. Let's get into some football. Danny said he doesn't like anything off. You know, he was just going to go off of my riff here. So I'll just scroll through as I see fit. We'll do some game props first, and then. And then we can move on to like player position by position. So like, you know, some QB props, some running back props, and we'll just see what we like here. You can kind of look through that as well on FanDuel if you want. I'm on a couple different places to see what all greasily is out there. And then we'll end with a MVP pick, which should just be Saquon. But we'll start with this one. Any player to record an octopus plus 1040. It's over 10 to 1 for someone to get the octopus. I mean, you have to, out of respect, put a flyer on there. You got to sprinkle the octopus. Are you in agreement?
I mean, I feel like that happens way less frequently than every 10 games, so I would steer clear of that one. But it's a fun one to bet and just root for. I wouldn't bet heavy on it.
And then the opening kickoff to be a touchback or fair catch minus 220 is yes. I like that more than military person seen on the national anthem. I mean, opening kickoff to be the touchback minus 220. So that's where 100 would win you $45. But I very much like that that one.
Yeah, I'll leave that one.
I'll lay the 220 for that one. So then let's go to combined yardage of all field goals made, 116.5 yards. So you'd need 250 yarders and then whatever.
What 115 you said and a half?
116.5.
I like that. I mean, yeah, you got to think. You have an average of probably 3 to 4 field goals a game. Say 3 field goals.
Longest field goal made.
40-yard average. I like the 116 for sure.
You like the over?
Yeah, I mean,
let's just say three field goals made, though. Two of them are going to have to be over 50. But I feel like both of these teams.
Three?
If there's only three, 50 and 50 is 100 yards.
You only need 39-yard average on 3 field goals, and that'll put you at 117.
Okay, yeah.
If you get a 50-yarder, then you can have freaking 2 30-yarders.
But so then you're saying, okay, but think about it this way. Then you're saying there has to be 3 field goals made because 2 field goals is 2, almost 60-yarders. So you might as well at that point just take over. Now, because the over 2.5 field goals is like minus 200. So, yeah, you can't do that.
An average NFL game probably has roughly 4 touchdowns, 4 field goals, and that would put you at 40 total points.
Yeah, right? And so these two teams both go for it once they're at the 30-yard line, basically.
That's also true. That's true.
So that's what I'm saying. Instead of taking over 3.5 field goals for the game, I would take this over 116 because you could get away with only 3 field goals in the game, like you're saying, that are going to be farther distance. 3 field goals will get you over that 117. So there's the field goal bet. We've finished. We've decided the field goal. That's the field goal bet. Over 116.5. It is minus 125. But that's basically equivalent to saying there's going to be over 2.5 field goals made, which is like minus 200. So there you go. Both teams to make a field goal of 32 yards or more. Yes, is minus 140. I really like that one just for the reason I just gave.
Yeah.
We're going to mark that one down too.
What book are you where are you seeing all these props, by the way?
Well, this is on like, the greasy my bookie type one.
Gotcha.
I did not, but I am also on FanDuel and I do not see. Oh, there's defense special teams. But nope, that's. Oh. Chiefs to win the Super Bowl and Scottie Scheffler to win the Waste Management Opens plus 600. It's crazy. Scottie Scheffler's like plus 238 to win the Waste Management Open, and everybody else is like 18 to 1 or higher.
He's free. If he, yeah. I mean, this is This is Tiger Woods' level of dominance. Obviously, only for a couple of years, where Tiger did it for freaking 10 before he banged too many whores. But Scotty might be the truth here in a few years. We might be having the conversation.
Oh, FanDuel has both teams to make a 33-plus yard field goal at -108. So there's your take that one. Put that one in the bank. And let's move on. Let's get out of field goal land. And let's go to any total interceptions over 1.5 is +110. I know Hurts is taking care of the football pretty well this year. And 1.5 fumbles is +210. Over 1.5 fumbles, +210.
Just fumbles, or do they have to be recovered by the defense?
Well, yeah, it has to be recovered by the defense. Yeah, lost fumbles. Over 1.5. I do like that one, just for the chaos bet.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting better odds there. Quite frankly, I don't like either.
No. Missed PAT in the game is +250.
I don't like that.
Well, Jake Elliott's missed like a bunch of PATs this year, but he's made all of the field.
He's made.
I'm just saying, that's one to keep an eye on. Total.
Still, he's probably hitting at a 90% clip still, though, so you're getting 250. Doesn't seem high enough of good enough of odds for you.
This one I have no clue. I would have to do some research, but total tackles over 82.5 is -150. You would have to then think how many plays in the game they're gonna be that are gonna end in a tackle and not like a run out of bounds. Even 83 tackles seems like a lot
for one team.
No, that's total tackles in the game. 82.5.
Are they? That's another one I got to read the terms and conditions on. Because that seems, for both teams combined, that seems incredibly low, unless it's like solo tackles.
Nope, just says total tackles. But, I mean, it does have total tackles and assists is 128.5.
Okay, so yeah, so that's 83 is solo tackles then. Because if the player runs out of bounds, the closest player to him gets credited with the tackle.
Yeah.
So
but that still counts as a pull tackle.
So pretty much every play. I mean,
you're saying they'll still give two people an assist. No one gets the full tackle.
No, they'll get one single tackle for that. But I mean, so an average game, a team runs about 60 plays. And so you're looking at 40 solo tackles per. So you either get, you either get one. In hindsight, I don't like the 80 because incomplete passes, you're not getting.
Right.
So you either get one solo tackle or two assisted tackles per play, basically. So you're saying you got to have at least 40 of the 60 plays-ish per team have to be solo tackled. But a lot of those,
it must be saying total tackles and assists is it counts someone as a tackle and then someone else gets an assist as well. And you add, but you get to add those halves in there.
Correct. But you can only have two assists. You either get every play gets credited either one solo or two assists.
Okay.
Like you can't have a solo and an assist on the same play.
Yeah. Yeah, I like under 82.5 total tackles then at +120. That's a steal.
Yeah, I agree.
Put that in there. That's a pod pick. Under 82.
Watch the game go into fucking quadruple overtime now. Back to Jake Elliott. He went 47 of 48 regular season on extra points. And playoffs, he is 9 for 12. So, still, combine those, he's still at a way beyond 90% clip. So, I don't like that. I don't like that bet.
I do kind of like overtime, yes, at +750.
Don't hate that.
Yeah, usually regular season games, that's more like 8 or 9 to 1. So, they are kind of juicing it there a little bit. 2-point conversion attempt, yes, is -125. I definitely like that.
Yeah, I love that one.
Yeah, we're going to add that one. Okay, and then let's go to punts is 6.5 punts. Eagles time of possession, -130. I do like that. I think they do win. They've been winning time of possession a lot. And that doesn't mean they'll beat the Chiefs by any means, because the Chiefs can score in 90 seconds, especially in the second and fourth quarters when they really want to go 2 minute there. Here's my other favorite one. This is auto bet every year, every Super Bowl. Players in the game with a pass attempt over 2.5. It's +150 this year. Give me a player, a third guy to throw a pass. There's almost always a gadget play.
You have to bet the specific player, or you're just saying?
No, it's any three players. Player.
Oh, yeah. Love that one. The iffy thing with that, though, is if it happens on like a 2-point conversion, that doesn't count, because it doesn't get credited as an actual pass. So that's the correct disclaimer with that.
But it's usually around midfield, you know, and they do the bubble screen pass to go. And the ball does have to come out of his hand. It has to be marked incomplete or a catch. He can't just take the tackle, you know, so that the play could get busted still, and you'll probably see 1 to 2 of that play at the most. So you really only have one chance at it. But I also do like net rushing yards in the game. I do kind of like that at over 288 rushing, because you know Saquon's going to break one, if not two, for 40, 50 yards. There's a quarter to a half of that right off the bat. That's another one I do like, but we're not going to add that to the official list. And what is this down here? Oh, what? You can bet USA Today ad meter number one commercial. So here's another greasy book bet. They have listed just a ton of brands and who's going to get voted best commercial here, according to USA Today's ad meter.
Is there one for first commercial?
No.
I was gonna say this is the only commercial. I would bet Bud Light. But Bud Light's been coming strong with the advertising to the bro.
Well, you got to think this is people voting on USA Today.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm not saying Bud Light for this one. I'm just saying I bet they'd be there.
Yeah,
you know, with Shane Gillis and they're marketing. Bud Light's trying to get uncanceled very hard lately, and so I wouldn't be surprised if they splurge on that first commercial spot.
Well, the favorite is Coors Light at +350, and then Hellman's mayonnaise at +450. Nerds 5-1, Stella Atros 550, Bud Light 7-1. Here's one of my favorites. I hate their company, but Uber Eats is +750. I think that's very viable. They've been having that whole season long campaign. Budweiser 12-1, Little Caesars 20-1, Doritos 50-1. And they did they're showing three commercials, or maybe no, I think there were three to vote on online, and then they were all like independent filmmakers or whatever, and so that they're airing like the one of those. So that 50-1, that could be a sneaky win. And then, you know, just a bunch of other stupid brands. That is a fun one though, because then you're checking the USA Today on Monday morning to see if you cash in or not, which is highly greasy. That is living up to the name of greasy gambling picks. Do you want to look at the next gen stat, which is fastest ball carrier, most yards after a catch?
I'm not going to bet any of these, but they're fun to speculate on.
Yeah. That's what we're doing here. We're not here to give you real picks and analysis. We're here to talk about the stupid ones. So Xavier Worthy is the favorite for most yards after the catch from a single reception. Xavier Worthy's 3-1. I almost kind of like AJ Brown to shed off a cornerback and take it to the house. AJ Brown 7-1. Kelsey 7-1. Saquon Barkley plus 750. If he catches the ball at the line of scrimmage and busts off, there you go. That's a winner. So I would say either AJ Brown or Saquon Barkley are probably the two most likely to bust one like that and have the most yak yards. Fastest ball carrier, Saquon Barkley's 2-1, Xavier Worthy plus 250. Jalen Hurts is 3-1. I didn't think he had it like that, but he's got the same speed over under as those other guys. And Mahomes is even at 19.5 miles per hour is his over under.
It's just they're just more likely to have an opening where you can get to full speed type of thing.
That's true. That's true.
That's the reasoning behind that.
Well, I would take Saquon for that reason. He's most likely to bust one, and then you know, kind of probably Xavier Worthy's probably the fastest guy on the field in general. There you go for those. Those are kind of dumb. I don't really like those. But we're gonna go to the double result, and you have to take halftime tie. So you know how I always do it, halftime tie, and the Chiefs money line, and then you might as well just do halftime tie with Eagles plus 1.5. So both of those are, you know, 15-1 each, roughly. So yeah, you're basically getting halftime tie at 15-1 minus one unit, and then I'm also gonna put a very small sprinkle on halftime tie and full-time tie. It's 35-1. So 10 would win you 350 there on the double tie. And then speaking of the halftime show, the halftime props are first song, shirt color, and total songs played, which is a total sham because it'll probably be a melody thing. So I guess it's like, even if the song only gets played a little bit, does that count as a song being played? It's at 10.5 songs, so it must mean half a song's count is a song. That's out. But I will say this has Kendrick Lamar's primary shirt color on first appearance. A white tee is minus 200, so I think people know what he's wearing. And then first song, Humble, is minus 175. Not Like Us is plus 175, and Squabble Up is plus 250. You like any of those?
I wouldn't. Humble being so strongly favored, I wouldn't touch that. I would just pick another. Like,
I believe I remember last year. Yeah, I think last year the big favorites on these were all losers.
Yeah. The white T-shirt seems kind of likely. Like I think is safer than the song bet. The song is like, is, you know, you're just rolling dice and hoping you get lucky, because it could be anything.
I would take a flyer on Squabble Up coming out to Squabble Up. And then we'll go back through some player props here we'll get the novelty out of the way here with the post game, which is the Gatorade color. Purple is even odds. A lot of sharp money this week on purple so far. I know Lane Johnson was on Pardon My Take today. He said that they drink lemon, lime, and purple. So, and then, you know, lemon, lime is plus 200. So I would take one of those because I believe the Chiefs are the same two. I think that's the two flavors they like the most. And then water clear is 10-1. So I do like that too. No shower equals no action. Must be shown on national broadcast for action. So if it's not shown at all, you get your money back because it's not an option to take, no shower shown. So I do like that. That's nice for the people. And that's that for post-game stuff. Okay, so let's see here. I think that, you know, if I'm just name me a couple players, I guess. Think of it this way here. Name me a couple players that you think are going to pop off this game, and I'll give you their totals, and you'll see if you like that total or not. I'll start with one, unless you got one. Well, obviously, yeah. Okay, obviously Saquon. We'll look at him here. Saquon's rushing yards is 114.5.
I mean, I'd lean the under.
Yes, the under's minus 105.
I mean, Kansas City's got a good D, and they're going to try to make Jalen throw the ball, I would assume.
My favorite rushing prop, actually, that I'm looking at is Kareem Hunt over 10.5 carries. I very much like that. And Pacheco's carries are 5.5. But I really like Kareem Hunt over 10.5. I think he gets the goal line work and the first drive and probably most of the late drives. And then Pacheco's probably mixed in more towards like a 2-minute drill and pass catching, because Kareem Hunt can pass block too much better. So I think he'll just continue to have the higher snap count. But Saquon, I'm not touching his rushing yards. I might do a live over if he starts slow. Yeah. I would love to take the live over, but even that's probably still going to always be hovering around 100 unless you get deep into the second quarter. I think maybe then it would go under. He would have to be doing nothing by then. Saquon's first rushing attempt over under 3.5 yards. That's a fun one. I would, you know, in the unders plus 120.
I'd take the under then.
Just yeah,
first and 10, 3-yard run, net you a win right there.
Yeah, stay away from that though. The longest Saquon's longest rush, 23.5 yards. With the juice on the over.
Man, I mean, he's just so prone to break one, but I like KC to really focus on him, unfortunately.
Yeah. Kareem Hunt's longest rush is only 11.5 yards. I kind of like that. Over 11.5 yard rush for Kareem Hunt to just, you know, break one, rumble, bumble, stumble for, you know, a gain of 13, 14. Still a winner. I'm going to add that to our card here. Hunt over 10.5 carries. We'll stay away from Saquon for now. Two touchdowns for Saquon's probably like plus 170-ish. I don't hate that, you know, but then, you know, you're always susceptible to the tush push for the Eagles. Saquon to have one touchdown and Eagles to win is plus 150. That's dumb. Saquon to have two touchdowns in Philly to win is plus 350. I do kind of like that as a sprinkle. But let's see here. Saquon to score a first half touchdown is even odds. I kind of like that. And his rush plus catch yards is 150.
Man, I don't like that. He only had like 300 yards. He's averaging less than 25 receiving yards on the season, and you're
basically. I mean, it's 36
to his rushing total, is it?
I mean, well, no, because it's. I just mean the numbers inflated. You know, it's juiced. It's my bad. The it's like, it's. I read it wrong too. That was rush. Never mind.
He's pretty much averaging 150 scrimmage yards per game. So, I mean, that's fair, I guess. But with what they gave for his rushing total, it seems a little.
Yeah, and then here we go. Jalen Hurts now, longest rush, 13.5 yards. I do like that over. Seems like if he's, you know, he could try to do a little extra and try to avoid some hits instead of sliding early. And Jalen Hurts' first rushing attempt is also 3.5 yards. And that doesn't include a sack. So why would you not take the over 3.5 yards for Jalen Hurts?
I mean, I'd take the under there strictly because the tush push.
Oh.
Most,
yeah.
But around half of his carries are just literally goal line or short yardage tush pushes. So
you're basically betting on him scrambling for a gain before a tush push opportunity. Oh, that is, you're right. I'm glad I bounced that one off of you there. Well, his rushing attempts are 9.5 rushing attempts. Unders -135. Yeah, nothing there really. I do like Mahomes' rushing yards. Where are they at here? 29.5. I definitely like Patrick Mahomes to have over 29.5 rushing yards in this game. I think he definitely, everyone's covered pretty well. There's lanes. Yeah, I do love that.
They're not, these guys aren't sliding in this game either. You know what I mean? They're giving it.
Yeah.
They're fighting for the extra yardages here. So
he does, I believe he still does go out of shotgun for kneeling it down though. So two kneel downs could be minus 10 yards almost or more. His first rushing attempt is only 4.5 yards with the over being -135. I definitely like that one. Because you're just saying he gets out of the pocket and you know if he's going to actually take off. The only way that loses is if he's like doing his little waiting until the very last second right at the line of scrimmage and then just sticks the ball forward, you know, as he shuffles over towards the sideline. Yep. And instead of throwing it away, he just like rushes for 2 yards and sticks the ball forward as he walks out of bounds instead of throwing it. So that's how that's the only way that one loses though. So I really do. You got good favor. You take it. We're putting it on there. That's one where we're adding that one. Mahomes. It is -135. Okay. Let's just get to Dallas Goedert and Kelsey covering the tight ends. I think Dallas Goedert has quite a big game here. How do you see it for Dallas Goedert?
Yeah, like I said, I think they're going to try to make Jalen Hurts throw the ball. And Dallas Goedert's been looking real good lately. I mean, what's his totals or what's his over-under?
The FanDuel is very stupidly put together. It's like receiving props, and then it's just like, here's one. Dallas Goedert's longest reception, 19.5 yards. I like the over there. First reception, over 8.5 yards. I like that one too. They don't really throw it to him within 5 yard, you know, hit zone. They like him to get out in space. So I really like that one for Dallas Goedert, over 8.5 yards on the first reception. Longest reception, yeah, I think he probably gets over a 20-yard catch too. And then I don't see I can't find on FanDuel or this other site his yardage, but his receptions is 4.5 receptions with major juice to the over, -150 for 4.5 receptions. Do you like that for Goedert?
Yeah.
Oh, here's receiving yards is 50.5. I think he has a big game because I think they definitely want to take away A.J. Brown and Saquon are their two focuses. So I like
that number to be like closer to 40 though, but I don't think it's a terrible bet if you take the over. I like the, yeah, take it, whatever. Why not? You only YOLO once.
We're going to add Goedert first catch over 8.5 yards, and we're going to take over 4.5 receptions at -145. Then on the flip side, you got Mr. Kelsey. Of course, FanDuel has his get plastered all over the place to bet on. Please bet on Travis Kelsey. Bet all his overs. So, you know, if I would say, if there's any one player in this game having their overs smashed, it's probably Kelce, for the Swifties alone. But
I like him to have a lot of action, but like very short yard. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he's like 9 catches for 64 yards type of thing.
Yeah, he's at 6.5 receptions.
I like the receptions, quite frankly, but I think, like, yeah, what's his yardage? 70?
63.
Oh, fuck. I guess my 64 gives you the over. So I'm not even touching Travis Kelce then.
Yeah, you're spot on. And you could do, here's what I like. First quarter receiving yards for Travis Kelce. I think they want to get him going. 10 plus yards in the first quarter is -132. 15 yards in the first quarter is +130. I think that first drive, he gets a catch, no doubt. So I would very much assume he gets a 10-yard first down. And even if he doesn't get 10 on the first drive, I think they're most likely get the ball back and probably go right back to him. This is what they did the last, they're all their Super Bowls. That's like, this is his game, you know. Him and Patrick go out there and freestyle, basically. Freestyle with ultra preparation. And then him to score a touchdown, though, is anytime touchdown score, Travis Kelce, +125. I really like that. I mean, it almost seems too good. It seems too good. Seems too obvious, but I do like that. So, yeah, I would say we should add that one as well, Travis Kelce touchdown. And then, like I say, I like Devontae Smith to you know, 50 yards for Devontae Smith. That's a tough one. I would still say he can get, and he's at 5.5 catches too. Dang. God, I don't like that either. But you know what? Why try to force it? Just, Devontae Smith, longest reception over 20.5 yards. I really like that. If you think that's the angle for Devontae Smith, a deep ball grab.
Yeah, I don't hate that.
And A.J. Brown's longest reception is 25.5. I mean, they're going to throw some 9 routes to both of those guys. I mean, you might as well take those. I think A.J. Brown is taller than and much more athletic than the Chiefs cornerbacks. So if he can get open, I think he can definitely win a jump ball against those guys. So, yeah. We'll add that too. I think that, you know, that I'd say that's mostly it, right? What's you like a Juju touchdown?
I don't.
What's that? Juju
+900.
Juju receiving yards is 15.5 receiving yards. Juju touchdown is +550.
Oh, I definitely don't like that.
Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins touchdown 6-1, even higher.
What?
That's no Gray crazy. Touchdowns, the same as Juju. So they must be considering Juju in some game plan here. He did have a couple catches last week against the Bills, the last game. Yeah, so Juju might be active here. I like that 15.5 receiving yards then. I don't like the touchdown either, obviously. That's silly, but... And then, you know, there's probably going to be one weird guy scoring a touchdown. We could go back to Noah Gray, but he's only 552. Grant Calcaterra is 22-1 to score a touchdown. Kenneth Gainwell's 12-1 to score a touchdown. You like either of those?
No, but...
Well, I'm talking just one odd guy out, if we have to pick one odd guy out.
I mean, I like D Hop at those odds.
At 6-1, yeah, I do like him to score a Super Bowl touchdown because this is obviously his first Super Bowl. So, that's probably a guy to look at too. But we were just riffing here. We didn't really prep anything in particular. I haven't really read too much on the game yet. I've read some things and maybe some theories and stuff, but I just feel like these games are all so tight knit. The analysis is kind of pointless, and it's just go with who you think is going to show out on the biggest game. And yes, look at some matchup stuff too. But deep diving, I think, is kind of frivolous with the Super Bowl game, because you just have no idea what's going to actually go down when it's all on the field. All that prep work can change really quickly in this game, and plans change very quickly, and adaptations are constantly being made on the field. Strategic warfare. So that's my opinion on that. I think less research is more. I usually do pretty well on the Super Bowl props as well, just to say. But we might as well see what D-Hop is. D-Hop, doesn't make sense. 23 receiving yards is plus 125.
I mean, they haven't been using him a whole lot, but still, you got to think. Man.
I mean, 23 receiving yards is three catches, basically.
Yeah.
And receptions is D-Hop receptions. Two receptions. Two plus receptions is plus 110. So you think he's catching the ball two times, you're making 110% of your money. Take all those. Just take all those. Two plus receptions and over 23.5 yards. It's like you can hear Brady saying his name at least once.
Let it be known, Return to Play podcast is pro Adele and pro D-Hop.
I think that's all I got. You got anything?
I'm content. I mean, we can do. Do you have a line or a money line?
Oh, well, yeah. I guess we should do a final score prediction, huh? And I guess for the sake of things, I got to give out a Puppy Bowl winner here too. It's minus 115 on both sides. I'm going Team Ruff. Team Ruff over Team Fluff. And the over-under is 190.5 points, with the under being minus 145. I'll just stick with the books here and take that under and follow the books line there. Ooh, Smoosh. I like that name. Smoosh. Smoosh touchdown. Or I should just say most touchdowns. Smoosh. Team Ruff. What else did you ask me? Oh, final score. You can go first. I'm torn on that.
I mean, I like. I think the Chiefs minus 1.5 is probably the play. I just give them an edge. I think. I hope I'm wrong. But I think Jalen Hurts' limitations as a passer will be, you know, the. I mean, he played very well 2 years ago, though, I will say, in the Super Bowl. But I think he has a big game, but I think Kansas City forces him to throw and tries to take Saquon out of the game. And that's the ultimate difference, I would say. So I like Kansas City. I expect Kansas City to be more of a favorite than minus 1.5. Granted, Philly does have a very good offense, very good defense, well-rounded team, but I'm going Kansas City, and I'd say like final score 27-17 type of thing.
You're probably right.
My MVP pick, I think a non-quarterback has to like have a great game really to get the award these days. So I think there's too much emphasis on Saquon. Like he's plus 260 I saw, and Jalen Hurts is plus 350. So I would lean more Jalen Hurts, which I know 2 years ago he was my pick, and if Philly pulled out that game, it would have been Jalen Hurts. So same kind of vibe there. I mean, obviously Mahomes is the heavy favorite, so you're not getting a lot of bang for your buck there. But if Philly wins, it's going to be pretty much Saquon or Hurts. But I would think Hurts would have an edge.
You can take for MVP on FanDuel, you can take Patrick Mahomes versus the field And the field is minus 145. So anybody but Mahomes, minus 145.
Basically, you're just saying the Eagles are going to win at that point.
Yeah, it's either the Eagles or Kelce. You basically get Kelce baked into the Eagles. Or maybe like Kareem Hunt if they just pound the rock and make this game super slugfest boring.
Or like Mahomes gets hurt early and they win without him.
Carson Wentz. Oh, they did. There was, you know, the Tooth Fairy's been hammering TikToks as usual, but she showed me a pretty good one where they were going around asking players how many unread text messages they have on their phones at that moment. And, you know, people, some of these guys are in the, and they're showing their screens too for proof. You know, some of these guys are like 1,500 unread texts. Most of them were in the thousands or at least, you know, 200-300. And then Carson Wentz, 4. and they fit it in right in the middle too. And just a quick, just him saying the number 4. And then back to like 1,500, you know, that was pretty good, TikTok there. So, I'm going to go with Eagles 31, Chiefs 28.
Steve's hammering the over.
Over, Eagles, Birds, and, it'll be a fun one. Yeah, why not? You know, why not? I really don't have any other thoughts on the game. I'm not particularly like ecstatic for it either. You know, I'm just like, well, it's the Super Bowl. Probably because we're just, you know, you'll be in Florida for the game, or are you coming home for Sunday?
Getting back Saturday night.
Gotcha. So you're probably not doing anything for food. You're probably just ordering food then.
Yeah, I don't even have Super Bowl plans at this moment. So who knows what I'm thinking. But yeah, I will not be cooking for myself. That's for sure.
I'll be smoking some garlic wings, and we still haven't decided on a side yet. So if you have a good side dish suggestion, at Return to Play Podcast on X, probably will end up being mac and cheese, but. That kind of sounds good. And then real quick here to end on the odds for the first overall draft pick. Cam Ward, plus 110 right now. Abdul Carter is the second favorite at plus 200.
Part of me really wants Abdul to go one just so he can dodge the Browns.
We can say that, too.
Well, yeah, that too.
And yeah.
My apprehension with Cam Ward is I don't think this, you know, none of these guys, I'm hearing some rumors of Dart popping up high and early into the first, but like none of these guys really come off as like a Trevor Lawrence or a Caleb Williams type where they're like, you know, these top tier prospects where you're like, yeah, they're for sure going number one and everyone knows it.
And
when you look at like, you know, the analyst big boards, like Cam Ward is usually the highest quarterback and he's like number 10 type of thing. So like a team's going to have to fall in love with one of these guys. Obviously quarterbacks are always going to be projected, even like the Kenny Pickett draft, like Malik Willis and Matt Corral, like those guys were all sneaking into first rounds on the mocks, which is crazy, which these guys aren't that inferior, but it's definitely a weak quarterback class. So I don't think none of these guys are first round guys or first overall pick guys. It's just if a team falls in love enough to be willing to reach on a quarterback, which we've definitely seen, but I don't think that's great odds. Like I would be more comfortable, you know, getting the higher odds for Carter or maybe even, I don't know if Travis Hunter would be. This year sucks to be picking early, honestly, because none of these guys are going to be super generational guys. Like you never see a corner going number one, so I don't know if Hunter's going to be there. Really, Abdul Carter is probably the highest graded prospect right now. Mm-hmm. But is a team going to want to take him over a quarterback? Titans definitely need a quarterback, you know. And it's not a year where someone's going to trade 3 first rounders to move up. to that spot. So we'll see what they do.
And the Super Bowl 60 winner odds, the Chiefs are still the favorite at 6-1. The Ravens are plus 650.
I hope my ideal scenario is Carter goes 1 or Cam Ward, I guess. And then the Browns at 2 take Shador. And then Deion is like, nah, you ain't playing there. Dude, that would be so funny.
That would be so good. And I love how some like college age kids tried to start a protest outside of the stadium and no one showed up.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's just a tragic mess over there. Oh shit, I've been on mute. The Browns are still the Browns. And so things aren't too wacky in the world, at least not in the football world. So enjoy Super Bowl weekend. We'll holler at you sometime here in the spring, probably. Maybe, who knows? We'll be busy for sure, though. So until next time, stay healthy, America.